Well, I need the Lord's help, inspiration, and anointing of the Holy Spirit. I ask for your prayers. I'd like to begin in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. Consider what it means to obtain a good report. Hebrews chapter 11 records the names of a lot of people. You know, the thing about these people that stands out to me is that they were men of like passion. They were like you and I are today. They had their weaknesses. It wasn't that they were, we'll call them the heroes of faith. It wasn't that they were born heroes, that they felt especially heroic. Well, one of the scriptures in this chapter says that out of weakness, they were made strong. What the Lord had to work with was just the weakness and the frailty of human flesh, which is what we have that we can bring before Him. I'd like to read here, beginning in, well, we'll start in the 32nd verse, read a little bit of this. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Wow, what a list. We hear prosperity gospel messages and see the popularity of them in our world today, but I read a list here of people that were, they were on the run, they were used and abused and persecuted, but it says the world was not worthy of them. You know, folks pass off the scene that are spent their lives in the spotlight, lived in the good graces, I'll say, of the world and its applause and accolades and recognition and fame. You know, it's the folks like this that I look at and say, this world is not worthy of such men and women of faith. Those, to me, are heroes. And the 12th chapter says concerning them and so many others, as it kind of closes out, the chapter transitions from specific names that time would fail to tell. I can't continue to list the names. When did this chapter close? Of those who were in a cloud of witnesses. You know, I believe that cloud is still being added unto in this our day. And until the end of the world, I believe that cloud will be growing in number. It says in the 39th verse of the 11th chapter that these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promises, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. These all obtained a good report. A good report of whom? The world? Well, there is a responsibility that we have to live our lives in such a way that it's blameless. So those that would seek to find fault with us would be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of us. You know, we're not to expect, touched on this a little bit Wednesday night, we're not to expect the friendship of the world. We're not to expect that the world is going to approve and give their accolades and their recognition and appreciation for us if we follow the Lord and His ways. But it says they obtained a good report. And I want to as well. And I want every one of us to live our lives in such a way that we can obtain a good report. Well, there is nothing more important, is there? than for us to obtain a good report? Why do we do the things we do and live our lives the way we live it? I'd like to see what Paul said about it. 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The 8th verse, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in the body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. This word to labor means to have ambition. You ever seen somebody with ambition in life? It drives them, doesn't it? So you have somebody that has ambitions to be a millionaire. If they're truly driven by that ambition, it motivates them to do things that maybe their peers and their counterparts otherwise wouldn't. It drives them to be willing to make sacrifices because they have an objective. They have a goal in mind. Someone that has ambitions that I want to climb the ladder of the corporate world. I want to be the manager of this place when I come in. Well, that may not suit you real well if you come into an interview to sweep the floors and say, Listen, I know what I'm in, but I really want to be the manager of this place. That's really why I'm here. Somebody that has ambitions. You know, the Apostle Paul said that he had an ambition. And here's the sum of it. I want to be accepted of the Lord. You know, of all that can be said of religions, I'm so thankful for salvation. I'm so thankful for a relationship with the Lord. And shouldn't this be the basis of everything we do? We can talk about doctrines. We can talk about creeds and rules and regulations and what somebody's got to do to be a part of the church. Well, thank the Lord for the truth of His Word that says that the Lord's the one that adds to the church such as should be saved. He holds the membership. He's issued already the creed of this church. You know, there should be something that motivates every one of us in doing what we do. You think peer pressure is a good thing? Well, it can be, can it? And I believe, and we've heard and studied this some in Sunday school, that we are to provoke one another and to love and to good works and to exhort one another and edify one another. I believe our lives should be a good peer pressure. But you know that won't be enough. I believe that the saints should have and should live a certain level of standard that is the Bible standard of holiness. And I believe that, when we live that as part of the reason why the world looking upon us will hate us because we're not of the world. And it doesn't require coming down and condemning somebody with our words and saying you're bound for a devil's hell. What I've seen, you live the life and it'll be something in it that either draws people or turns and repels them away. But our motivation should be this. Lord, I want to be accepted of you. I want to please you. Sure, I want the saints to think well of me. I want my co-workers to think well of me. I know some people have the idea or say that I really don't care what you think about me. I don't. But I believe deep down inside there's something a little more there of an insecurity. But beyond what the saints think, beyond what some minister expects, there come times where the saints aren't there. There'll be plenty of times and places that the pastor's not going to be there. But the eye of the Lord is upon every place, beholding the good and the evil. And there can be a place and there should be a degree of fear before God. I believe that our world has lost too much of the fear of God the understanding, the conviction, the belief that there is a God that I'm going to go and stand before and that sees everything that I do. There should be a fear of God. But you know, that's not the extent of it. The Lord wants us to find the very love of God. And that love that Paul said, it constrains me. The love of Christ constrains and compels me. Lord, I want to be acceptable to you. I don't want to do anything that displeases you, Lord. It really doesn't matter at the end of the day. This is what is taught, and this is what they think, and this is what the other thinks. Lord, what do you think? Lord, what do you think about me? Lord, what is your opinion of me? You know, people can get ideas and opinions and make judgments, and they might be altogether wrong. You know, the Lord is never wrong in His assessment and His opinion of us, in the report and the conclusion that He draws of our lives. And so we labor. So we have ambition. Lord, I want to please You. I want to be accepted of You. I want to share with you a little bit of a story that I heard. It's a story of a woman named Bilquis Sheikh. She wrote the book, I Dared to Call Him Father. She was a woman that lived in a Muslim country, was raised a Muslim, was all she had known was Islam. But she, and I don't recall the whole story, how she got a hold of it, but she got a hold of a Bible. And she read in both books, the Bible and the Quran, about Jesus. And she began having an interest, a curiosity. Well, what does the Quran say about Jesus? So what does the Bible say about Jesus? And the more she read of both, the more there was something that began tugging on her heart. She read the Bible and she read where Jesus referred to God as His Father. And the thought came to her, if that's true, then I too should be able to call Him Father. Well, that was an unheard of and unacceptable thing, especially for a woman to have that kind of boldness and thought. But she began seeking the Lord, and to make a long story short, the Lord got a hold of that Muslim woman's heart in the middle of a Muslim country where she had no church and didn't know hardly anybody that had a profession of Christianity, living for the Lord. The Lord got a hold of her and began talking to her and began teaching her. And if you read that book and read her testimony, the Lord came in and revealed Himself in such a real way. And she described the presence and the feeling of just peace, and it was so real in the room about her. And then as she'd go along throughout her day, there'd be something she'd say or do something that she felt a prick inside. And she said suddenly that feeling, that peace, that joy that she felt, it would kind of begin to fade. And she began searching, what's wrong? I don't want to lose this. And the Lord would show her, I wasn't pleased with what you did there. And she repented of that, and she talked about her journey. Again, not having understanding as you and I have access to teaching and preaching, and the Lord began to teach her. And her ambition was, I don't want to lose this glory. I don't want to lose this out of my life and out of my heart. And so anything she did that she could tell began to jeopardize that, she turned from it. And anything that would cause her to find a greater degree of that, she began to pursue after that. And I believe that should be our heart's desire as well. Amen. Lord, help us to have such a sensitive heart and conscience that I too, my utmost desire, Lord, I want Your approval. Lord, I want Your blessing. Do I have it? How often should we ask, is the Lord pleased with me? How often should I seek, Lord, are You satisfied? Lord, how about the way I handled that?
Are you pleased with the way I responded there? What do you think? We better do it by the end of our lives, shouldn't we? Because again, every one of us is going to stand before a just God who sees and can replay every, even down to every idle word that I've spoken. It behooves everybody, every man, woman, and child, at some point before you come to the close of your life, you better think about, is God pleased with the way I've lived my life? Because there's a God I'm going to stand and give an account for. You know, there's a better way than that. We need not wait until the close of our life, if we even have that opportunity, to stop and ask, if I have the mind to, at the end of life, is my life pleasing to God? We better do it now. And we better continue doing it. What do you think? Once a year? Maybe camp meeting time. Well, Lord, I guess I really ought to stop and consider here. Am I still in the way? Am I still living for you in actuality? Is the fruit of my life still truly being borne out for you? More than just a profession, more than just an identity or an idea that I have. People too often go through life assuming things. I just assume I'm going to go to heaven. You hear that? Seem like anymore, everybody that dies, well, they're in a better place. Well, they have a heavenly birthday. And just everybody would just assume. I don't want to go through life just assuming. And I don't believe we have to. I believe we can live in such a place that Paul said, whether I live or whether I die, in death that we can know that we have a good report with the Lord. Nothing between me and my God, but also in life, to be able to live our lives in such a way that we can have the confidence and the assurance. There's a song that says, I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. And in one place in the song, his smile will say, he's satisfied with me. Number 114 in our book, The Light of God, it says, his smile is my constant light. Lord, help us to have the same intense desire that a woman that was formerly Muslim on the other side of the world had. Lord, I want your smile today. Lord, I want your approval this day. Oh, I've talked to folks that have found themselves in religious confusion and seeking a way out and not knowing where to turn, not knowing where to go, and I've tried to encourage them. Focus on Jesus. Fix your eyes on the Lord. Get your eyes on Him and have the desire that I want to know the voice of the Lord for myself. I want to recognize His still small voice. I want to recognize when the Lord is nudging my heart in a direction. I want to recognize those pricks on my heart every day of my life. Not just occasionally, not just every once, not just when I get into trouble. But I want to live in such a way that I hear His voice. This, I believe, is about more than just a feeling. We are not to live by feeling alone. And right before what Paul wrote here, he says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. It's not about what I can see. It's not just about what I can feel in some emotion. But there is an experience and a confidence in the Lord and a faith, not in myself, but in Him and what He has done, that keeps me through the ups and downs of life. You read in the fifth verse of Hebrews chapter 11 as well of another man. It says, Hebrews 11 and verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh, I want that testimony. You know, there's a scripture in Proverbs, the 20th chapter. It says, most men will proclaim every man his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. This isn't about our testimony of ourselves. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Jesus even said, if I bear witness of myself, my testimony is not true. But the works that I do, they bear witness of me. The Heavenly Father bears witness of me. It's not just by my words. It's not just by my own testimony of myself. Here's why I'm a good man. Here's why I'm justified. Scripture says of the Pharisees, these are they which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. This is a way that is beyond trusting in what we can do. It's beyond the works that we can do. It's about having faith in what the Lord can do in and through us. So to have a testimony from the Lord, that the Lord's the one that says, I'm pleased with you. There's a scripture that says, when a man's ways please the Lord. The Lord sees, the Lord knows. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Not to catch somebody. I'm going to see if I can't trip you up somewhere. I'm going to see if I can't catch you somewhere along the way. If that's our idea of God, it's an errant idea. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. The Lord wants to show himself strong to every one of us. He wants to give us the witness, the testimony as well. I'm pleased with you. Not only at the end of our life, but throughout our lives. At work, we have performance appraisals that we do. And at a minimum, at the end of the year, every employee is going to find out from their manager, how did I do this year? The things that I worked on, not only the what I did, but how I did it, the attitudes that I had, and the way that I showed up at work. It's assessment time. Well, it's the same in school. You have final exams, and then you get your report card. That is the final reflection, and even through it, right? You've got pop quizzes, and you have exams throughout. That should be indicators to me. Am I on track? Am I off track? Well, we as managers are expected to have a conversation not only at the end of the year, but throughout the year, so that employees can know when they need to make corrections and adjustments. Because if they get to the end of the year and find out, you didn't do anything I wanted you to do, you get a failing score. That's a failure on the part of the manager as well. So they should be able to know throughout. You know, the Lord is ever so faithful to us. If we'll come to the Lord, Lord, I want to know. Am I pleasing to you? Now, I want to be able somehow to draw a distinction. This is not about being under a spirit of fear, of condemnation, of accusation, where I go around all the time and I can never have peace in my heart because, was the Lord, maybe I didn't say that just right. Well, maybe I did. Oh, maybe I should have. The Lord doesn't want us to be under a spirit of condemnation, of fear, and of accusation. But he does want us to have that kind of ambition that Paul had. He said, Lord, I'm working to please you. That's why I'm doing what I do. So Lord, I want to check in. I want my heart to be kept tender. That you can course correct me throughout my life, throughout the year, throughout the month. Isaiah the 66th chapter. What could we do to impress God? You know, within managers, sometimes there's kind of forced rankings that on your team you're going to have the best and then better and then a bigger group of good and then the ones that maybe aren't meeting. You know, we don't have to worry about when we come to the Lord. Well, you know, I'm kind of comparing you against this one over here and against that one over there. For sure, surely 144,000 would have already been filled up, if that's what I meant. Thank the Lord, there's a number which no man can number. And I'm going to stand and give an account, not of you, nor you of me, but of myself unto the Lord, the dealings and how I've responded. So what am I going to do to possibly impress the Lord? What am I going to do to possibly excel my brother and be able to get the Lord's approval maybe a little bit better than my brother? Well, that's a trick question. For that's not the way we come to the Lord. What could we possibly do to impress the one who made the mountains and the galaxies, who designed DNA, the intricacy of the human body? What could we possibly do? Isaiah 66, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where's the house that you build unto me? And where's the place of my rest? For all those things that my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. You think we can manage to do that? By the grace of God. To live and to order our lives in such a way that the Lord can say, to this man will I look. Remember Daniel and his friends? They were first brought into the king's court in Babylon and they were given instructions. This is what we do for everybody. This is what you're going to have to do. Here's the diet that you're going to have to eat. It's the only way you're going to be able to stand and be acceptable before the king. But you know when a man's ways please the Lord? He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And their ways pleased the Lord. And they looked on it, and it says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. It didn't matter if mom and dad and all the other Hebrews weren't around. It didn't matter if I was in a different setting. The eye of the Lord's looking on me. So said Joseph, how could I do this great wickedness in Potiphar's house? Nobody looking around, just me and her. But the eye of the Lord's looking on. How could I do such great wickedness? Well, they purposed in their heart, I'm not going to defile myself, even in a foreign country. And so they asked, would you make an exception for us? Would you let us live by the laws of our God? And just see for yourself if at the end of it, if we're found pleasing to you or not. And at the end of that period, they were fairer than any of the rest of them because the blessing of the Lord was upon them. Folks, we need the blessing of the Lord. A head knowledge, some identity of religion is not going to be enough. We need the very blessing of God upon our lives. I want other people to be able to see it. Recognize it, not for my own glory. But I want the blessing of the Lord on my life. I need the blessing of the Lord. And they had it. Lord, help us to order our lives in such a way as well. I'd like to look now at the 13th chapter of Hebrews. This salvation, I've already alluded to it, it's a divine work. And it is of grace and faith and not of works, lest we should boast. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and reading here in the 20th verse. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The prayer is that God would work in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. We can't produce of our own works. Our own righteousness in his sight is as filthy rags. There's nothing glorious. There's nothing to earn the Lord's approval. But if we'll allow the Lord, through that humble spirit and that trembling at His word, if we'll allow the Lord, He'll work in us that which is well-pleasing in His sight. So the Lord can be able to look upon our lives and recognize the work of His hands that He's worked in our life and say, that's beautiful. The psalmist said He will beautify the meek with salvation. His works, His graces within is what will make us beautiful. I want to get a couple other scriptures along the same vein, Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is, well, I won't say every man for himself, but this is between me and God. This is between you and God. I want to be here to try to help and exhort and encourage, and you do the same for me. But ultimately, I got to get this for myself with the Lord. I got to order my steps right. I can be doing all the right things and all the wrong ways and still not have the approval of the Lord on me. Lord, I want to have your blessing and your approval. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Oh, thank the Lord for the promise that the Lord will work that which I can't work. Folks, do we have faith in God? Do you see places in your life that are flawed? Do you see places that you recognize, Lord, I know you're not really pleased with that over there. Lord, I recognize there's something here. Folks, this isn't just a self-help program. It's not about, well, hopefully, eventually, maybe some way. Lord, I need divine grace and help. Lord, I need you to heal what is broken in me. I need you to give me divine strength and grace. The Lord's able to give us not only the desire, but to help us to perform that which is pleasing to Him. Yes, thank the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to reinforce some of these thoughts in closing. Ephesians 1 and 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. The Lord is able to make us accepted and to give us the confidence and the assurance in our hearts, the faith in Him, that I'm accepted in His sight. Colossians, the second chapter. Colossians 2, verse 10. Ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Our completeness is to be found in Him. Our affirmation is to be found not in people, not in their approval. Jesus said of the Jews, of the Pharisees of His day, He said, ye are they which seek honor from men, and not that honor which comes from God alone. You seek to be called rabbi and you seek the recognition and the honor of people. But live your life beyond that. Live your life for something more than that. People are going to pass away. People are fickle. They'll be for you and then they'll be against you. Seek the honor that comes from God only. And that is the burden that I have for us this morning. We live our lives to seek the honor, to seek the good report that comes from the Lord alone. It can be found in Him. The Lord will do the work. Folks, the Lord will work in us that which is well-pleasing in His sight. The Lord is able to supply in us that which is lacking. So that we can say, as Paul, maybe we'll close here, 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. 2 Timothy 4 and 6, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith.
Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul came down to the close and was able to say, "I finished my course. I fought a good fight, and I know what's waiting for me. I know what to expect." Oh, false religion and man's ideas through the years have promoted the idea that we can never quite fully know. Some have proposed that, well, we're predestined either to be lost or to be saved, and you can never know for sure which category you're in. What a dreadful cloud to live under. Thank the Lord that He wills that every man, everywhere, should come and be found accepted in His sight. That it's available to all mankind and to us today. It doesn't matter how dark the world. It doesn't matter how many people are living to try to get the approval of man. Paul said in one place that he didn't preach to be accepted or that which is pleasing to men. But I want to be pleasing to God. Everything I do, Lord, I want to be pleasing to You. I want to have Your approval. I want to have Your blessing. I want to be ready for that day. And I can only be ready if I live ready. To live in the approval and the blessing of God. And to be able to hear one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You pray for me that I can hear those words too.